Some of us have had to go to the doctor, haven't we? And sometimes they, maybe you're like the doctor that's talked to me and says, you know what, sure would help you if you lose a little bit of weight. Now, most of you are in pretty good shape, so you don't have that issue. But there was one particular guy who was told, you know, you need to lose some weight. And so he was trying to figure out what he needed to do. And one of his favorite things that he liked to do was on the way to work, there was a nice little donut shop right there on the way to work. And he started praying as he was driving down the road. He said, Father, you know, if you don't want me to have a donut this morning, please let there not be any parking spots available. And so he was driving along, and he finally thought to himself, well, I guess God must want me to have a donut because there's a parking spot right in front of the door. I've only been around the block 6 times. How many times do we go through a temptation and find ourselves trying to make way for completion of the temptation? Unfortunately, many of us don't even have to go around the block 6 times. We fall for a temptation the very first time. We have to deal with temptations. There are things that lure us in life. Every one of us deals with temptations. We are lured away from doing what is the best thing in our situation. And Scripture tells us we fall for sin. We are all guilty of it. Romans chapter 3, 23, other passages out of Isaiah and so on throughout the Scriptures tell us, ever since the beginning, mankind has this issue of sin, disobeying the will of God, breaking the will of God. Even as Christians, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we have sin, even as Christians. And we must confess that sin to our Father in order to be forgiven. And then turn our thoughts away from the sin in order to practice and choose righteousness. All over throughout the Scripture, we are told about this predicament that we are in. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why Jesus came, is to set us free from that sin. Amen? If it hadn't been for Jesus, we'd still be lost. All people would be lost because there's no way that a single person can overcome sin. We all violate God's perfect law at least once a day, if not thousands times a day. I don't want to keep track. And in Jesus, we don't have to keep track. The blood of Jesus takes away all sin. But Jesus has calls for us to make changes in our life. Even though he has paid for all that sin, he wants us to find his grace, his mercy, the grace of God, and the help of the Spirit in order to deal with sin. We examined this passage in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, last week. We looked at the message that was there that God impels us and prepares us through the help of his Spirit for the work that he wants us to do. Everybody who opens up their heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ has this blessing and this privilege of the help of God. There's a couple more lessons I want to deal with from this text, from this passage. Today's text is, as we look at the lifestyles of the righteous, we are tempted but triumphant. Tempted but triumphant. One of my favorite passages is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so if you want to turn over there real quickly, we'll look at that passage. But there we find the words, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. God doesn't leave us as orphans. Jesus did not leave us as orphans. He gives us his help to deal with what? With temptations. And he will restrict the power of Satan, the temptations of the world, if we will keep our eyes on Jesus and focus on the will of God. Let's read our passage here out of the book of Mark once again, Mark chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Immediately the Spirit impelled him, speaking of Jesus, to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word of scriptures. Thank you for your lessons that you have provided for us throughout your word. As we continue to open up your texts, your scriptures, that we would learn from your truths, your righteousness, from your examples of the saints, of others who have gone before us, and especially of Jesus himself. Father, help us to be an encouragement to each other, to walk in the path of Jesus Christ, to walk in the path of holiness and righteousness that you've laid out before us. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together today, for the freedom that we enjoy in this land. We pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding, for your direction to deal with each one of us according to the needs that we have. Father, we pray for your Spirit to continue to work in us and through us. Help us to be attentive to your Spirit, to not quench his power, his fire that he wants to implant in our hearts. And Father, let us walk with Jesus and be ready when he returns. Lead us and guide us now. Prepare us for further service in your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this passage, once again, last week we dealt with the fact that the Holy Spirit was working in Jesus, along with the disciples of Jesus, the ones that he had called to help him, to learn from him, to prepare to become the first missionaries into the world. But then we look at this and we see, man, how did they deal with temptation? Everybody is in this struggle with Satan himself, and how many of you have done some things that you regret later on? I have, 10 hands up here. We do things that we know is stupid. We shouldn't have done them, and yet we have done them, and now we're suffering the consequences. We're paying the price afterwards. But in Jesus Christ, we find help and strength to press forward. We can be triumphant in Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to look at today. The first point I want to touch on is that Jesus was tempted, but triumphant. Now, a lot of people say, well, he was God, but he was also man. Scripture tells us very clearly that he was God-man. He came and put on human flesh. And so let's take a look at Jesus. Mark records that Satan tested our Savior. Mark only uses one half of a verse. But consider the implications of the text regarding the temptation of Jesus. Now, the other Gospels we're going to look at briefly is that Jesus was tempted with three specific temptations. Mark doesn't even list the temptations, but he suggests that Satan tempted Jesus throughout the 40 days. Every single day, as Jesus was out there in the wilderness, there was some kind of temptation going on. We don't have them all listed, but there was temptation going on. How many of you are tested by Satan every single day? I am. And if we're honest, we look around us and we see there are temptations, we have to make choices between righteousness or evil every single day. And Jesus was tempted throughout the entire 40-day period that he went out there into the wilderness. Every day included some kind of a lure. Jesus was not out there in the wilderness on a leisure trip or on a vacation. He was preparing himself to face every form of corruption and to take on himself every sin of every person in the entire world throughout all time. Now, my sin alone would be enough to break any other person. Wouldn't your sin be enough to break another person, if you're honest with it? And Jesus was not just taking one person's sin. He was taking this entire sin load of the entire world, the most corrupt, the most evil, along with every other people that we call good people. They still have sin against God. Every sin that was practiced, every sin that was invented by humanity, and Satan was doing all that he could to destroy the integrity and the purity of Jesus. Jesus was which Savior of all the number of Saviors? He's the only Savior. And if Satan could get Jesus to commit one sin, would he be perfect? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No. So Satan was doing all he could. He had been fighting, trying to destroy the Savior since birth. Remember? And now Jesus is getting ready to enter the full-time ministry. Satan is trying to find a way to destroy the integrity, the purity of this one Savior for all humanity. There was a huge spiritual battle of eternal consequences going on between Jesus and Satan as he went out into that wilderness. Only one sin would destroy the purity amounting to God's failure and Satan's victory over all of creation. This was major. Now, Mark is the only one who lists another little factor here. Jesus went out into the wilderness, and who was he out in the wilderness with? The beasts. Now, we don't think a whole lot about that little phrase, do we? But Jesus was among the wild beasts. He did not take any weapons. He did not take any protection. He did not take any camping gear. How many of you, whenever you go out into the wilderness, you take a few things with you? Growing up, we always went camping every summer, several times during the summer. We'd load up the car with a tent. We'd load it up with the cooking utensils. We'd load it up with food and everything. Jesus didn't have anything with him for 40 days. And he was out there with the wild beasts. We usually don't think about that little phrase, but Jesus placed his entire trust in the hands of his Father as he went out into that wilderness. What beasts could possibly harm Jesus in Israel? We don't have a lot of discussion about that, but I did a little research. In the land of Israel, we know from history and from other records that they had bears. How many of you like to face a bear? With your bare hands. You got my bare hands, I can handle a bear, right? At least David had a slingshot. But there were bears in the lands. There were wild boars. There were badgers. Have you ever faced a badger with bare hands? They're a vicious little critter. They're small, but they're vicious. Jackals, hyenas, leopards, lions, and wolves. There were a lot of wild animals out there. And most of them I wouldn't want to meet. Not only were there these beasts, the scripture doesn't even refer to other things that were out in the wilderness. There were bandits. There were bad people out in the wilderness trying to get away from the law. We still see that. That's kind of been a tendency of humanity through time. And there are a few other things. Scorpions and vipers. We were out in the wilderness of southwest Idaho one evening. We'd been looking for rocks. My parents were rock hounds, and so we were out looking for rocks. And we had our campfire set up, and we had fixed supper. And as we were sitting there, one of our party just happened to notice a rattlesnake coming to the heat of the fire and all the nice warm bodies that were around the fire, just a few feet away from us. Whoa, did that wake us all up? How many of us would like to go to sleep knowing that there are vipers or snakes around? I don't think I'd want to do that. And yet Jesus spent how many days? Some of you are still awake. Very good. 40 days out there facing all of the wild beasts and the extras. Now, as we read other scriptures, we read in Matthew and Luke that three specific temptations were presented to Jesus. They are identified by both Matthew and Luke. And the Apostle John warns us of three areas in our lives that Satan will attack us. Satan loves to attack us in our lusts of our flesh, the lusts of our eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And as we look at the three temptations that Matthew and Luke list, Jesus was tempted in these three areas: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. His physical hunger, his selfish ambitions, and his self-glorification. Did Satan only tempt him with those three things? Turn this rock into bread? Jump off the pinnacle? What else would Jesus have to deal with? What other temptations? You know, the devil appeals to our weaknesses. He knows us very well, watching our desires from our childhood as we grow through every single day, as we deal with other people. He is constantly testing us. He even uses scripture to tempt us. And as Satan tempted Jesus, what was he doing? He was using scripture. Trouble is, they were only portions of scripture. Satan is the deceiver. He twists, he perverts, and he only presents the portions of God's message that he wants to use that will contort the message and twist it to what he wants it to say and what he knows we are a sucker for, that we will get lured into trying. He's been using these same tactics ever since Eden, using half-truths. He is the liar. He is the deceiver. And he tried that on Jesus. Satan attacks when people are most vulnerable. He tests every person physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and more for any weakness in order to destroy us. And Jesus was facing hunger. The scriptures say, after 40 days, then he became, what? Hungry! What would you be like after 40 days of not eating? Can you imagine the hunger that Jesus was facing? And Satan says, hey, you can do this. Could Jesus turn rocks to bread? Yes, he could. He could, but he knew the rest of Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word from the mouth of God. Jesus was not only facing hunger, He was facing rejection by his family. Can't you imagine what his younger brothers and sisters were saying about him? Mr. Goody Two Shoes? What about all of his friends? What friends? He was going to be saying some things that were going to sift them like wheat. And what about the religious leaders? Jesus was going to challenge the twisted, perverted interpretations of Scripture and the false teachings of the leadership. Jesus was prepared to be a one-man army against the world. He was an island in himself against the sin of the world. No one else could stand in truth like he was. Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet he did not sin. He didn't fall for any deception. Thus, Jesus was triumphant over Satan's temptation by standing true in all of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." You're having temptations and things that are luring you. Jesus understands. He lived as a human being in this world. He was tempted in a few things. Is that what Scripture says? In all things, just as us. He understands what we're going through. And He's there for us. Draw close to Him. Jesus paid attention to those who were teaching God's Word. It began with His parents. Imagine what Joseph and Mary were going through. We've been given God's Son. We're supposed to train up this boy. We're supposed to teach him all of righteousness. They were chosen because they were a righteous mom and dad to start with. They were a good couple. God sifted their hearts. Were they perfect? No, they were not perfect. But they were trying. They were trying to live for God, and God chose them. And they were teaching their son what they did know. And Jesus listened to his parents. He obeyed the law. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He did. He gathered with God's people every Sabbath to hear the reading of God's Word. And the words of those teachers, even when they did not teach what God was saying. Jesus listened to the Word, not to man's interpretations. And we need to listen to God's preachers. Is that what Scripture says? Listen to the Word of God and draw strength from. Now, I hope and pray, you know, that I'm teaching and preaching God's Word, because there's a great responsibility. The Scripture warns teachers, leaders, of what they are doing, because we will be held to a greater standard of accountability. Our elders, continue to pray for our elders. Pray for me. We need it for the preachers across the land. Anybody who is teaching God's Word must be teaching the Word. But make sure you are listening to the Word. Jesus was raised in heaven? No, he was raised on earth. And he listened to God's truths and applied them by God's standards. Jesus learned by asking questions. Even though he was God who had put on human flesh, he was also human, and he needed to develop his human skills of reasoning and understanding and communication. I don't understand all that. But he did it. He grew up in a world as a human, but he did it God's way, as God wants us to do. Jesus depended upon the Holy Spirit living within himself to guide him, to assist him, to counsel him in the spiritual war that was unfolding. He did not do this all on his own. He depended upon the power of the Spirit. The Greek word there is the same basis for the word dynamite, the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit works in God's people today if we will tap into that power. God sent angels. Mark mentions that they're angels who took care of the needs of Jesus. God's angels have been assisting people throughout time. Throughout the history of humanity, we have many references to angels, God's angels, helping people. Angels help people in the time of need. Some of those stories that we read about the angels is with the story of Abraham, with the story of Lot, with the story of Jacob, with the story of Daniel, with the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, with Mary, with Joseph, with the apostles. God's angels are busy because we get in all kinds of messes, don't we? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14 says, "Are they not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" That's a question. The obvious answer is what? Yes! God sends His angels to help His children. Psalm chapter 91 affirms that those who put their trust in God will be cared for when God sends His what? Angels. His angels are among us, around us. We do not usually see them. And quite often when we see them, according to Hebrews, we never recognize that they were angels. But God cares about His children. Jesus was tempted, but He was triumphant in His walk of life. So we move on to the next portion. And we'll be here another 6 hours, so hang in there. The disciples were tempted, but they were triumphant. They were tempted, but they were triumphant. You know, the disciples were confused about the parables of Jesus. Have you ever read all of the parables of Jesus and understood them perfectly? No. Jesus had to take the disciples aside many times, usually all the time, and explain what He was trying to say so that they would understand that. He would take them into private and give them another class on what the parable meant. Did they always understand it? Sometimes they had to hear the story two or three times before they understood the eternal heavenly principles. The parables were earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And the disciples grew up only with earthly stories with earthly meanings. And so they had to learn the new concepts, the new principles from heaven itself. All of the disciples fell away from Jesus when He gave Himself the final hour. All of them fell away. Jesus said, "You'll all flee from Me." And they said, "No, we won't." Peter says, "I will never deny You, Lord." "Oh, yes, You will. Before the night's done, You're going to deny Me how many times?" "Three times." Oh, the other apostles, they were perfect. They stayed with Jesus, right? No, they all ran away when the soldiers came in the garden. They all ran away. They all fell away. But Jesus took them all back, except for Judas Iscariot, who had hung himself. They all came back and were empowered to serve God later on. Memory recall was promised to the disciples by Jesus. He kept His promise by giving them what? Who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out in their hearts, in their lives. The Holy Spirit made his home in the apostles, and he helped them remember things. We talked about this in our Sunday school lesson. Sometimes we need a little bit of help to do what? To remember God's truth. Does God leave us as orphans? No. He gives us his help through his Spirit to remember his truths, to lead us to his truths, to teach us his truths. John chapter 14. The disciples were empowered with the Holy Spirit on the first day of the church to preach the good news of the life of Jesus Christ. They continued with God's strength and boldness, defying all of the enemies of Christ, powerfully proclaiming the salvation of obedience to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. Now, how many people are going to look at you and raise their eyebrows when you say, Jesus was dead, but he came back alive? How often does that happen? It only happened once. After 3 days in the grave, only Jesus conquered the grave by himself. The power of God. And the apostles were given the power of the Holy Spirit to take that message into the world. The disciples were tempted. They failed many times, but Jesus took them back, and thus they were triumphant in the power of serving Jesus. And that brings us down to you and me today. We are tempted, but through Jesus Christ, we can be what? Triumphant. Remember, in Jesus, you are triumphant. The invitation of Jesus is for all people to come to him to find release from their sins, release from their regrets, release from their corruption, and most importantly, release from death. Do you want eternal life? Jesus wants to give it to you. Just as he conquered the grave, you can conquer the grave too, through his power. Jesus is the Savior for how many people in the world? For all people. He wants everybody to have life. You know, we may not understand everything that we read in the Scripture. I don't understand everything I read in the Scripture. Ted just shook his head. He doesn't understand everything. I thought you knew everything, Ted. Nope. Nope. Not a single person in this world understands everything in the Scripture. But God will reveal his truths to us as we take time to read it, as we read the Bible. We will build truth upon truth upon truth and increase in understanding, increase in knowledge, increase in wisdom of God, of eternal things, if we will take time in God's book of truth. The Scriptures repeatedly call for us to seek God. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. How often? Continually. What did I just say? Some of you are still asleep. Okay. James 1, verse 5 and following instructs us to ask God in faith to give us wisdom in order to understand and know his truths, because the wisdom of God is different from the wisdom of man. What sense did it make for the Savior of mankind to go off and get himself crucified? That doesn't make sense. To go out into the world to die? But that wasn't the ultimate end, was it? Jesus conquered the power of sin and death itself. And for humanity, all they think about is the now. What do I want now? While I am alive now. But Jesus said this world is going to be destroyed. There's more to come. We got to get ready for the next chapter. Amen? Christians who confess their sin, reject the corruption of turning to God, are forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 tells us, instructs us that you and I need to be confessing our sin to God, and we will find his healing. We'll find his strength. We are sinning. There are things in our lives that are not according to the will of God. And if we deny that, then we're lying to ourselves and we're lying to God. That's the message of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1. So we need to be examining our hearts, our lives, and figuring out what are we doing wrong? What are we doing that displeases God? And confess it and make the necessary changes to please God. We do this because we love Jesus more than the things of this world. And we want to please our Heavenly Father. We want to go to heaven. Is that where we want to go? Yes. And we do not want to disgrace our Savior. So we confess our sins to God. Scripture also tells us when we offend a brother or sister, we are to do what? Confess our sin to them and heal our relationship with our brother and sister. Christians will receive God's Spirit who indwells us. Every believer who gives their life to the Lord, the promise in Acts 2:38, of those who believe in Jesus Christ and are baptized in Him, repenting from sin, are giving a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. And if we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit, follow His leading, we have jeopardized ourselves. We need to pay attention to the touch of God, the call of God in our hearts with a Spirit who seals us until the day of judgment. He is our constant companion. He's our constant friend. He gives us the power. He gives us the direction. He gives us the help that we need to face every single day. I used the illustration in Sunday school this morning. He is that little voice speaking from one side saying, don't do that. Here's a better way. And on the other side, we've got Satan and the powers of evil saying, oh no, let's go do this. This looks like fun. We need to be listening to the Spirit and say, bye. Goodbye. Flip him off. Push him away. I don't need you. I need the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there if we will listen. Christians are triumphant in Jesus. Amen? Through Jesus and because of Jesus, today and forever until He comes again, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We are made new creatures. We are made the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are children of God because of Jesus paying for all of our sin, transforming us, making us new creatures through Christ, empowering us with His Spirit, not leaving us as orphans. You are tempted, and you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to make some sin in the process. But Jesus Christ has promised you, you can be triumphant through Him and His ways. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay true to Jesus. Stand together in Jesus Christ. Encourage one another. Check up on each other. Confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to one another. Be God's people and receive His promise of glory forever. There are some who have not made a full commitment to Jesus. You know about Jesus. You've been learning about Jesus for years. But you've never surrendered your will to Jesus. What are you waiting for? Do you want the victory or do you want eternal death? We never know when our final breath will come. God wants to give you life starting right now. If you've been holding off in giving your life to Jesus, you need to get that straightened out immediately. The elders are available. I am available. Maybe you know another Christian that's available that would be glad to speak with you, pray with you, lead you in what you need to do next. Don't hold off. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the victory that comes in Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation that is available. We thank you for your word of life, that you are constantly helping us, working with us, and empowering us to face the challenges of life. Lead us in your way, lead us in your will, until Jesus comes again, that we'll be found faithful and true, ready to go to heaven forever. We thank you for this day. Empower us as we go out to be your witnesses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.